Now I can't hear you.
Except for I've got to turn my recording on. Hey! I hear you!
Wow, you sound very bright and, like, weird.
Hello.
Like, you're in
That's because I didn't have black hole on before.
You're in the tiled bathroom all of a sudden. Have you got the tiled bathroom effect on?
Is it doing something to my...
Yeah.
I don't think it has any filter. Oh, there's a little bit of a low shelf filter.
Wow. I mean, if you haven't... try again.
It's no different than normal.
Okay, cool.
Didn't have things on. I used my podcast leveler and outputted the files for last week that way, and it worked fine. No complaints.
The smirk of a man who makes software on the fly.
I like that moniker.
I love it. So long.
We're still gone. I know, I'm always like, who made this? Oh, I did.
Little warm up. My joints need a warm up this morning. I'm feeling like an old man this week. Achy.
Is there
just
stretching?
Yeah, it's 10 minutes of stretching before we record.
It's part of our strategy to chill our kid out as well. Aaron goes through like, can we do some stretching? And it's like,
nice.
His little belly shows. It's like hilarious because he's smiling the whole time.
Cute. Good idea. Yeah.
Right. Speaking of kids, I about died seeing your daughter's request for kiddo parts for home. The order, her purchase order.
Yeah, and she won't tell me what it's for. So she won't. I can't ask any follow up questions of like, hey, but what's this bit for? So she's, you know.
I love that they were so accurate. Like,
I know.
Were they all accurate, like, pieces that you could just pick off the shelf?
I don't know. It's curious. Like, some of the shapes are pretty weird. I think it's all custom.
Oh, okay.
But I can't clarify with follow up questions. So I don't know. I might just have to wing it.
You should send her back an order. It's like, sorry, these are all custom. It's very expensive. 4 to 6 weeks.
Yep. Yeah. It was cute, actually. I had a guy reach out on Instagram. A dad messaged me last week saying, hey, my kids are like really into robots. Can we come and visit your workshop? And they came in for a shop tour. Earlier in the week. Dow, you okay? Yep.
That was my cute noise.
Oh, cuteness. Not technical difficulty. he brought his kids in for a shop tour and like how old were they? 6 and 9. And the little boy had been like quite sick, like bad sick, and then just being cleared to be okay again. And like apparently one of his like wishes when he was really unwell was like he wanted to see robots and stuff.
Oh,
and so it was just super cute, lovely kids. And we gave them a little workshop tour, and they got to drive the ABB and like hold the control and like run a program on one of the robots. And like it was fun. It was just nice to like,
that's awesome,
show kids around and give them a little tiny taste of manufacturing. It's cool.
I would say they've already made a full ROI.
What do you mean?
Just, it was worth it.
All it was worth it. Was oh, worth no. It.
We had one oh, kid.
Yeah, so, oh, yeah. Oh, the robots. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty cute. Yeah.
Cool.
Cool.
I haven't had any kids want to come see a CNC router shop here. I don't have any robots, really.
You got cool toys. You got a mill.
Yeah. Is it always this oily in here? Yeah.
Yeah. What have you been doing this week?
Well, I put it at the end of this list, but one of our new... upcoming products. Tell me if I've shared this before, maybe privately, I guess, but we have a ATC pedestal for Avid machines, which are like those, do you know Avid?
Yeah.
It's mostly like a bolt together, extrusion type router.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yep.
Which I'm sure there's other versions, but they were like the first. It's very similar. And the design came from my friend David. He graciously offered to let me use it. And I'm bringing it to market as something we sell. So it comes, you know, you put kind of a standard ISO 30 fork on it and it bolts to the back of the machine.
Cool.
And so I'm getting that to work. And it's one of the first products we'll have where it has like integrated PEM hardware, which is kind of cool. I've never used
what hardware
product. I've used it for like, I don't know what PEM stands for. PEM.
Don't know. What is this PEM?
Permanently installed nuts. It's an abbreviation of the PEN engineering and manufacturing core. Getting attacked by a fly. These fasteners are permanently installed nuts, studs, and standoffs for use in sheet metal applications. So you can like Senkatsen, Fabworks, you like cinch them in basically with like a press and a die, and they like clinch the metal.
A riv nut. Riv nut?
Yeah. That might be a branded version. Yeah. Riv nut.
Riv nut's used in sheet metal. It's like a pressed threaded insert.
Yes.
Like a rivet.
I would say they're more elegant.
Thread.
And way more compact.
Yours are called PEM nuts. I'm just going to. Oh, yeah. Yours look more elegant.
Yeah, you can get them technically flush mount, which is crazy. Like,
dang.
They're a little more expensive and they don't really work in the case that I'm going to use them, but
cool.
Pretty great because otherwise you need like a stupid nut on the bottom and or try to tap 3.2 millimeter 5052 aluminum, which that's not going to stand for very long.
No,
that's and it's a bunch of work. So. So that's kind of fun. Cool. Got that. I guess the question is, you know, let's do another take there. The reality is we need a few people to test it and have one customer that potentially will be available to test. They have like a 5x10 machine and Avid has just recently put out their own ATC capable spindle. But other people have kind of DIY'd their own version of this.
That was my next question. Is are Avid's usually tool changing machines or are they usually just single?
No. Yield Sir Rob Lockwood, man, 4 or 5 years ago now, came up with his own solution for this, kind of with some forum help. And there's a company, I think it's like, oh God, CNC Router Parts or something like that. That might have been their old name. Some company came up with a spindle that was ISO 30 tool changeable that wasn't HSD. And that's what he had used. So it's like an SC30, I want to say, or something like that, S30. And then he kind of rolled his own, similar to what David did, but he came up with his own pedestal styles. And he had admitted at the time, like it was very similar to what we were doing. So he had no interest in selling them and offered them to me.
Are you saying that Sir Rob Awesome Lockwood dabbles in CNC routers? I thought he was Lord of the Machines.
At his house.
At his home version. Home version.
To make. Oh. So if you remember forever ago when we first met, you and I, that my deep dive into trying to do parametric cabinetry and fusion, Rob and I and a couple others were attempting this. I think Rob leading the charge and... I subsequently gave up because I was like, this is foolish. And then Configurator came out and made it much more possible, but I still don't love it. It's not really worth the hassle to try to do it in like a production sense for me. So,
It's funny. I never got into configurations properly in Fusion, but I have made a lot of cabinets using my cabinet templates that I built primarily for home. Mm-hmm. I have smashed out some whiteboard cabinets in record time. But mainly home projects.
That was enough. What Rob and I's my own interest were to do cabinets, and it's like, if you're doing your own cabinets, you can buy a CNC router and undercut the cabinet market.
Yeah.
In terms of like producing them yourself, because of how much cabinets cost. So that was his interest. And anyway, now it's a little more off the shelf, except for there's not a way to hold the pedestals. So that's where we're going to
have our That's where you come in. Cool.
Yep. Nice.
Great.
Yep.
Good, good, good. New products are good. Nice. I haven't done any new producty things. I haven't. Chatting to a friend about, I was complimenting a friend on his Shopify store the other day, and he was saying how like, thanks, but it needs, you know, it needs needs some upkeep. And I'm like, yeah, websites are like always hungry for upkeep. It's all they ever want is bloody upkeep. And I became aware that I haven't done any gardening on mine for I don't know. The whole year? I don't
just remember the last time. Just think if you had to actually do the development, though, and like make sure they were secure and like do all this crap that...
Hellish. No thanks. I haven't done any sort of little tweaks for ages. But meanwhile, Shopify sales power on. We're having a good streak at the moment. Nice. Our conversion rate has never been higher, I don't think. I don't think I've ever seen our conversion rate that high on Shopify. It's over 0.5%. It's at 0.6. It's very high for us.
You just must get a lot of traffic. And I don't honestly know what average in your market should be.
Yeah,
this month I'm at 1.4, which is up 20% versus last month.
So good.
Let's see what the last 12 months is. Could not load data, so it's really, really good. 1.33 over last year.
Yeah, it's so good.
I don't get nearly the traffic you do, I don't think.
Yeah, maybe.
What do you attribute your good sales for?
I don't know. Don't know, honestly. I mean, we've had this. I know, I'm such a confident. Shotzo is such a confident business operator. I mean, the ending the configurator discount was a good, like, injection boost. That was, like, a really good patch of conversions. And probably the month leading up to that, there was some awareness that that discount was coming to an end and people were starting to, like, check out some more stuff. I have vaguely been keeping track of, like, configuration sales before I added the add to cart functionality versus after I added add to cart, because I wanted to make sure it wasn't sort of slowing people down,
killing your sales.
God. But there has been an uptick since I added add to cart, up about 40% over the sort of comparable period. So seems to be working. We've pushed about 70. So, yeah, thanks, Justin. we've put about 70K through the configurator so far this year, which is sick.
That's got to be like more than the original one did.
Oh yeah, easy. Yeah. Much more confidence in the new one, even with its bugs and all. So it's good.
What are you still seeing? Are people giving you like bugs that they see?
Yeah. Just minor stuff, but yeah, seems to be working well as a tool for a lot of people. Yeah.
I was just thinking, I listened to this podcast called Syntax, and they were bought out, which this doesn't happen very often. They were a private, just like a two dudes that started a podcast about web development. I've sent you a couple of them. That one about MCP stuff this last week. But they have they got bought by a company called Sentry, which is like error monitoring. And I was just thinking that might be kind of useful for you. I don't know anything about how to install it, but they have a free plan.
What monitoring?
And website error monitoring. So like when people see errors.
Oh, error.
You don't know. Yeah, you don't know what's happening, right? Until, you know, they tell you about it, and a lot of people will just leave. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
Totally.
I'll put it on here if you want to look at
it. Cool. Please do. I'll check it out. I will also check out their episode about MCPs, because MCPs are really confusing and I don't understand what they do yet.
That's why I listened to it. I was like, yes, I need to grasp this. The very most basic thing that I understood from the Sentry or the Syntax episode on it, which I'll link to that too, is one of them said at one point that it's more like a user interface for AI to connect to other services than it is specifically just an API, which is like an access protocol where one app says, like, if you're trying to connect Facebook to Google Drive for some reason, you're trying to like download your Facebook images to your Google Drive, like you use the API potentially and code all that up. Zapier makes that easier in some regards, but it's very like rigid and it doesn't allow you to like change it. Whereas the concept could be that if you connect an AI in between those two things with MCP, then it can be more dynamic and say like, oh, well, actually it isn't quite the matching set of things, but that still looks like you want these images or and then potentially do something with them, right? Like recreate the images as cartoons and then put them in your Google Drive.
Yeah.
And the MCP is like the interface between the two, I guess. I don't know. I don't understand it well enough and I don't have a use case for it to like, I think that's when I'll finally like go, this is what it's for. But right now it's kind of just like a little too deep in developer world for me.
Yeah, same. I've had several conversations with my chatty friends about like, what are these tools and how would I use them and what environment would I use them in and for why? Because I get the sense that they're going to be really important and powerful things in this space. But yeah, again, I don't have the use case yet, and I don't really have an environment, I don't think, where I could implement one. Like I don't have my own development environment where I could be like making my own MCP like rolling it out and implementing it and stuff. So it's like, yeah, it's just a curiosity at this point. But
I guess I think of it more like another avenue of it that's interesting is we were talking about the Shopify allowing kind of a baked-in MCP capability, which I still don't understand that either. I need to ask an AI to describe MCP for this, I think. But one of their examples, benefits of MCP on the Shopify, build AI shopping experiences that convert browsers into buyers. So you could like natural language search with product recommendations. And one of the like weird examples I keep hearing is like, if you don't have to like leave the chat bot or whatever you're using for like Cursor or probably not Cursor, probably more like ChatGPT or OpenAI, because it can pull in and go, oh, here's how I use Gem's website and allow it to like actually let the customer make an order through the chat bot rather than having to go to your website.
Yeah, it's that connecting tool.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of what piqued my interest about it a week ago when I sort of became aware that like, oh, okay, at some point I might have to sort of ensure that my website has the right sort of MCP handlers in it so that it can be accessed in that way. Mm-hmm. Curious.
I don't know. I'm assuming it will become as like us of customers of Shopify. I feel like what they'll end up doing is just like keying it in so that we don't have to think about it. You know, that's really like the way it succeeds in terms of
for
like
sure.
usefulness.
Yeah,
and they'll spend their millions of dollars to figure it out, and we don't have to like do that.
Yeah.
All of our things are about AI.
I know.
What do we do anymore? How's your robots? Have, are they doing anything
what
cool?
have we become? We made some progress this week on in Robot Land.
Made a robot noise.
So the thing. This is new, isn't it? The
got it.
The CNC sanding tool arrived. The orbital sanding head. It's a well-made little widget. Quite a few people have DM'd me saying, hey, what's that like? I've been looking at this for ages for my three-axis router or blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, it seems to be made well. Nice little bit
and
of kit. So
local to you or where did it come from?
U.S.
You sent a link. Okay.
U.S.
I'll put a link to it again.
CNCSandingTools.com. Yeah, it seems great. And that arrived one morning this week. That afternoon, Laura had taken the kids somewhere and wasn't going to be back until late. So I was like, right. It's like 4 o'clock that afternoon. I finished my quote admin session and assumed the position of robot handler for the next. That's right. I had a 3 hour window before table tennis that night. So I was like, cool. All right. Sanding time. Let's go. And did a.
Before table tennis, are you in a competitive league?
Yes, I do play competitively now.
Oh.
In the local club. So most of us who work here do. We're all on the same team.
Started the club. Okay. Keep going.
We've all joined the local club. Anyway, so I had this window before table tennis. So I was like, cool, back in Grasshopper. Let's try and get some bevel sanding cooking. And I screen shared my Grasshopper Rhino window with Uncle Sven, who's my like sim theory agent, who's like a expert ABB programmer. I was using Gemini 2.5 as the model, and we screen shared and workshopped my Grasshopper patch for about 3 hours, and kind of we were making some good progress. And then I came back after table tennis at about 9. And I was supposed to finish this other job on the CNC, and I was just like, Grasshopper was still open to my computer, and I sat down and like resumed the conversation with Uncle Sven. And then like 3 hours later, midnight, I was like, oh, I still haven't done that job. But I've got a piece of code here, which looks like it might work. And I went out and plugged it into the robot, and it sanded a bevel. Multi-axis, first true sort of like Grasshopper multi-axis toolpath. So that was super satisfying. I was so tired I didn't even film it. I tried to film it and then realized the next morning that I just had a still photo, not a video. And
I do that more and more. I do it all the time. Or I'll like stop it. Or I'll start at the end instead of actually recording it.
Classic.
Yeah, it's so we're getting old. Useful.
But it's cool. Like, cause I've found in the past, like, Grasshopper is a bit of a black spot for these models to be able to help with fully. Mm-hmm. I think partly because it's just a visual programming language rather than a language. And so I've found AI is sort of somewhat limited in its capacity to help. But this sort of, the way I was doing the screen share and then like, dictating these long prompts of like, hey, I'm doing this and I'm connecting this to that and what do you think, how do we solve this? And it actually worked quite well. Like it hallucinated like crazy a lot. And I was like, no, we've been through this. You can't connect a curve to the bloody blah because it needs a brep and like these weird circular loops of logic. But like we made it. It was a long session, but we built like a pretty cool little grasshopper patch that did what I wanted it to do. So that was, it was cool.
It's great.
And
I was asking you offline, but you made it so that it actually can. I was at first like my feeling was like, oh, is that like replicable? Can you like take it and advance it to other, you know, geometry, or is it locked?
Mm.
You basically just like hard coded one geometry, but you said it was just driven off of a like a sketch or a curve, right?
Yeah, it's just a curve. It's chasing a curve, and then it's currently set. The bevel is sanding angle is currently set just with a manual input, which I want to get working with us like a surface reference. So you just click on an angled surface and goes, cool, that's my angle, but that I couldn't get that to work.
Right.
But it's replicable. I can apply it to different geometry. It's not super stable yet. When I change curves and change geometries, sometimes it just like completely flips the normal plane and it's trying to like come up through the table and do weird stuff.
Just crushes the table real quick.
So I need to work on it being more stable, but but the thing that came out of that, I sent a video of that to Joseph, the guy I bought the robots from, and he was like, cool, try tilting the part at, like up off the table at 30 degrees, because I was having some access issues with the robot. It's just like crunching up, and he was like, you got to get away from the three-axis thinking. It's like,
hold it up flat to the table, right?
Yeah, like get vertical. And then he was like, think about horizontal milling applications where you got tombstone work holding, like get the part vertical or like tilted and like play around with different access. I was like, yeah, cool, okay. Breaking my brain trying to sort of like, I was driving home from Melbourne last night designing this like sanding fixture in my head with all these like weird angles and like almost vertical but like tilted back so you can still use gravity to help align the part,
right.
Like designing this really weird fixture that just like is so counterintuitive to having run a three-axis router for so long. It's like, no, maybe, right. You know. Yeah, it's interesting. Fun to play with.
Right. That's very cool.
What I need to do is mock something up, just like screw some bits of plywood together out there and then just like jog the robot around and find comfortable poses and go, okay, cool. This is a good, you know, nice joint angle, nice pose for it. And it can do that and reach up there. Cool. Let's design a fixture that kind of works within those parameters.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It needs like a weird tombstone, you know, like a giant tombstone that's like angled.
Yeah. It's kind of what I'm picturing.
Yeah. Did you just say that and I just was dazing off doing something else?
No.
Okay.
That's kind of where my thinking's at the moment. It was a giant angled work surface. Work through that. It's kind of the fun stuff in between things over the next week. I'm starting to keep working on that.
You could go really like lo-fi on it, where you put it on like a spinner table that locks position and like you change it by like pulling a cable when you're outside the robot's area so that you don't have to get in there to change it, but you can change the part real quick and not need to like synchronize some weird servo system.
Yeah. Well, I really need to, ultimately it needs to be able to change its own part. So if I pick up from a stack, index it, stick it on the fixture, sand it, flip it, blah blah blah, but that's you know it's going to take months of stuffing around to get to that point, but
right,
that'll be fun. Looking forward to it.
Can you look at the, I was sure that the name of the code is Rapid Code and like understand it now? Is it very similar to G code?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Kind of read through the logic of a program. Can't yet sort of look at the weird values called quadrions or something, like this four dimensional measurement system. Can't look at those and know what angle the tool's going to be on, but Otherwise, yeah, it's quite intuitive code. It's pleasing. Nice.
Have you given, are you using Cursor Worker tools for making this the rapid code, right?
I have been, previously I was playing with that. I haven't done that for a while.
Oh, and Sven.
Because I've been focusing on Grasshopper.
Right. So you can give, all of them, right? But there's a specific place inside of Cursor where you can give it documentation or like resources.
Yeah.
And maybe you've already done this, but there's a whole thing called grasshopperdocs.com. And I found this to be really helpful with other, like for Airsoft, we're using MUI interface. And like once it knows it, it's suddenly like, it's like you've given it a whole new capability.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is the best one, but when I just searched it real quick, developer. There's also developer.rhino. So I would just dump it all. These things, because I was thinking you're saying it's a very visual thing, and it's like it is very visual, but it's just replicating commands typically, right?
True.
In a sequence, yeah. Almost always that the application can already do a lot of the time.
Yes.
So it should be pretty easy for it to. What I always find when I'm trying to mess around with Rhino scripts and automation there, that it's typically just easier for like an AI to write. Typically Python code as a script.
Yes.
And I get that what you're doing is probably like, that's way harder for it to be like something where you or somebody else can interface with that. But anyway.
Yeah, but then it's like Grasshopper is like terrible for someone else to pick up. And as we've discussed here, like, you know, it's hard enough to pick up your own Grasshopper patch, let alone give it to someone else and say, hey, make sense of this. It may as well just be a Python local, script.
Right. Can you make a little local web app that just drives the Grasshopper somehow? So it's like very UI-centric.
Ooh, that'd be cool, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Probably just run a little local server pretty easily. At least to test with.
Ooh.
See, yep, I am learning things.
That's cool.
I'm not just vibing.
I think there's too many. I'm exploring too many things concurrently, and I'm probably not great. But it's fun.
Same.
And if I focused on one sort of avenue, then I'd probably be making more progress. But yeah, I keep doing these like weird spin-offs where I'm like, maybe I could try this, and I go down a little route of like. Just bypassing Grasshopper entirely and writing a custom Python script that just works out of the Rhino viewport. Yep. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's got potential, but, you know, where do I invest my time? Don't know.
I started, like, two mini side projects this week, and I did successfully not keep working on them, which is... benefit for me in the business in general. Somebody asked me some Fusion question, and I was like, oh, I bet I could just make a little add-on for that. And I was like, no, don't. I like asked Sim Theory, and it like started. It's like, do you want me to work on this? And I was like, I need to stop. Do not do that right now. It's like also like capable that my interest in these like I guess this is like what I like in general. It's not obviously doing like customer support or accounting. It's like I want to solve little weird problems like this. Like that's kind of what I want my job to be, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't regret
it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's dangerous. You can make a label dumper website and spend too much time on that. But if you ever wanted to use it, I got the print label thing working now too. So.
Oh, from the browser. Nice.
Yeah.
Sweet. I'll check it out.
And the counter. Where are we at? So I have, just to continue down the path of life with AI, We are currently shopping for a different car, and I have not done this in a while. And it is, everybody knows this, at least in America, it is just like pulling teeth. It is brutal. And it must be progressively worse for the sellers because everything is available online. All the data, I found this great kind of resource website that like aggregates all the places where cars could be for sale, gives me all this data about like comparable pricing and what I should ask for pricing. And they've just in the last week rolled out this and multiple little mini, they're like $10 a month subscriptions. And so I paid for the one so I could get the data. Cause I was like, well, this is going to save me a lot of time. Okay. I'm only going to need it a couple months. And then this last week they came out with a feature for $10 a month that negotiates car prices for you with AI.
What the hell?
And I am harassing some dealers right now. Not even having to worry about it.
Anyway.
After having tried it myself and feeling, I don't know. I don't know if there's much less ethical like businesses than car salespeople. I mean, I'm sure there are some, but the ones I've already tried were just like dark patternering me and like just weaponizing competence. Like both of them were just like acting like they didn't understand what I was asking about. They constantly like use these, they use their own AI platforms to, which it was very clear because it said it at the bottom of the page, to constantly send new threads so that you can't have a threaded email.
What?
And the reasoning supposedly is intentional so that you're always showing up at the top of their email list. But I think it's partially so you can't negotiate as well. They also change the name of the person contacting you constantly, even though I'm pretty sure it's not a different person, so that it does the same thing. And I like confronted him on it. I was like, this is horrendously annoying. Can you just email me like a human? And then like every question you ask, they like act like they don't understand. It's so I'm happy to just let the AI go loose on them because it did not feel like good faith at all. And I'm like, I just want to buy a dang car. Like, why is this so hard?
Yeah, right. So is this like, you're shopping for secondhand vehicles? Is this why?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's so much used dealer wrangling. I mean, yeah, used. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely terrible new car too. Like it might be worse in a lot of cases here. Maybe there's better laws there for you all.
I don't know. Yeah, interesting. I haven't shopped for a vehicle for a long time, but that sounds horrendous. I was kind of doing the same thing the other night with our van because I want to get rid of our van. My mechanic is just like, you got to get rid of that thing but before it costs you any more money. Go and get a Toyota. And I was like, okay.
Don't get any more wallabies.
I was doing some research the other night, like, how much do you think I can get for my van and how much for a Hiace, blah, 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 blah. Use up some of my deep research credits.
There you go.
It's pretty useful. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
What? What's he done?
The lights have come on and I don't have pants on.
Oh, dear. House lights.
That's weird. Makes me think there's like weird voltage spikes when the lights just suddenly come on. What else? I don't know.
I'm about to put my wide belt sander on a truck in 45 minutes.
Woo. Can you just lift it up?
Yep. Yep. Just.
Hello.
Forklift will just cope with putting it on a truck. Yeah, sweet. Off it goes to its new home. All packed up. I don't know what I'm going to do with the floor space. It's funny. We sort of, you know, I cleared so much floor space to make room for the robots, which obviously I then filled. But with the wide belt going, it's going to leave this big void in the middle of the workshop. Just have to, I don't know, put another table tennis table, I think, for, you know, so everybody can train at the same time.
robot on a track, so it needs to move through that space.
Oh yeah, nice. That'd be cool.
A little train track.
What are you doing today? What's up?
My day's like rapidly about over. Gonna finish working on that pedestal, get stuff ordered, and what is the other thing I was working on? I don't even know. Making a cost spreadsheet for all those parts to know how much things cost. And trying to source 4140. Do you know anything about 4140?
No. It's just that term means to me is the business of machining.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Unlike if you say like, oh, I need some 6061, it's like you can get different numbers of it. I think the majority of people use T6, and that's about all I know. And I never have any other requests for it, and what we use is T6. I'm aware of other material, like we've used 7075, I've used like the fixturing style of aluminum, which I can't remember off, MIX6, which is a few different brand names. But like steel, I don't know a lot about, and especially this 4140, it's like tool steel that comes in a lot of different, maybe they're called tempers, but you can get it like once it's, you can get it annealed, so it's soft, you can get it, it is good to heat treat, and then you can get it in all these different hardnesses, I guess, but like there's like decarb free where they like take off the outside, like, you know, if it's a cake, you would take off the burnt stuff on the outside so that you have like the non hardened, extra hardened outside, I guess. I don't, it's so complicated. It's probably not. Yeah. I just have yet to like fully wrap my mind around what I need for what I'm working on, and
yeah it's stuff. it's another world. Metrology. Yeah.
Which I suppose is true, like we could say that about plywood too, right? Like the amount we've learned about the gratings and veneers and the cores and the glues and the all that crap.
Yeah.
It's also not simple.
True. Yeah. Familiarity. There's a lot of assumed knowledge in what we do. Or what we've learned over the years. Yeah, for sure.
Meow. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Having a lot of success still with Help Scout.
Great.
Like, drafted AI answers, and it's, I wouldn't say it's exactly what I hope for still. Like I still think there's a lot of work, and they've just allowed one different way now that you can, like when it's doing the AI answer thing, like you were testing out on the front end of the website. Once they finish, I can see the replay of it, or like the whole chat, and I can improve the answers for next time.
That's cool.
Just kind of like, you know, sell harder or like refer this.
Oh, thing cool. Okay. So you can give it feedback based on a actual interaction, sort of.
Yeah, but it's not proactive in that it's like reactive for the next time. I still want like, I want the ability to like guide how things are, like I still have no capability. It's just going off of past conversations still for like how the AI drafting for email is. But I mean, yesterday I had a couple, I've been going back and forth with a couple customers who are working on like pedestal installs, having a lot of trouble just maybe not being very experienced at this kind of thing. And like some of the drafts it made were like in my tone, used perfect examples from our previous scenarios, and I was like, this is exactly what I would have said, and I didn't have to think about any of it. Had links to articles and like,
yeah, wow, that's sick.
It's it feels like I'm getting through support messages so much faster, which is like exactly what I was hoping for. So
yeah,
stoked about that right now.
That's cool. Good. Super cool.
Right.
So it's not really what I want to be doing. Does anybody?
No. No. Just made me feel like, so the moment of like remembering how much work I've got to do in that space of like, oh gosh, yeah, like all those instructions that need updating and all
that would be cool.
All that collateral that needs to be updated and re-uploaded to the website, and just simple things like the material change of going through all the kit parts things and changing the DAO specification and blah blah blah. Right. Yeah, so much work to do that I'm not getting through at the moment.
Oh yeah,
but nothing. Same. But nothing's breaking, so it's okay,
dude. If we just wait long enough, there will be an AI tool to fix all of our problems.
Maybe.
I'm fairly serious about that. Like the amount of time it took me to migrate between Freshdesk and Help Scout was 1/10 the time I thought it would have been.
Yeah,
like for cool. having used that software for 5 or 6 years and like the hundreds of articles and literally thousands of conversations, and it all like there's minimal problems. Every once in a while, I keep finding an old link to Freshdesk somewhere, and that's pretty easy to like update. But like, it was kind of like a 2-day changeover suddenly, and I was like, oh, I guess we're just done with Freshdesk. That was easy.
Mm, so good. Nice. Cool, man.
But I have a lot of that stuff too. Yeah.
Good to go. Just do final bits and pieces, packing up the sander so it's ready for the truco. Truco.
When you move that, is it just like dump dust out of it? Or you haven't moved it yet, probably?
Yeah, I have moved it. There was a lot of fine dust under it and around it. Yep.
I bet.
What was the screenshot you sent? Screenshot you just sent me? Is that what you?
that's one of the negotiations. It's the only one that's responded. But this is what I'm talking about. Like you see in the details there, it gives them the chatbot says I want the VIN ending in number.
Very specific question.
And the stupid consultant, sales consultant, writes back, "Good morning. Which model are you inquiring about?" Just no effort at all. So then the person writes back that the chatbot, I want VIN number, gives the whole VIN number, the identification of the car with this price. It's been since 7:25 in the morning, no response. So it responded within two seconds. See, they need
2 seconds.
That's a little, it's very that's obvious hilarious. That it's a bot. So many M dashes too.
So many.
It's three like in the original email.
Hitting the M dashes hard. Yeah, too funny.
Just a little, it's vibe coding itself. It's like, ah, yeah, another M dash. Yeah, that's
yeah, more. Yeah, so proud of itself for all those M dashes.
You did look make at me my think use of language. Another thing would be so good is if one of these like help desk tools could. I bet that somebody does this. Like, suggest to update documentation based on a conversation you just had to like just generate it for me. Okay.
Okay.
It's getting hot in here.
Cool, man.
Sitting in the hot for y'all.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye. Ding.